Amen. Thank you for coming to First Works Baptist Church. We're going to get started with song number 259, Jesus Saves, song number 259, there in your hymnals. And if you are able to, let's all stand together for our first song, song number 259, Jesus Saves. Song number 259, sing it on that first verse. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. To every land, climb the steeps, across the ways, onward tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The paddles strike, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sings his love through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Wonderful singing. Let's start off our service with a word of prayer. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just bringing us all here safely, Lord God, to church. We thank you so much for all the people that are here. We do pray that you please, Lord God, also bless every aspect of the service. Please bless the singing unto you. And most of all, please bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you please fill Pastor with your Holy Spirit. Guide him through the scriptures, Lord God. Bring to remembrance of the things that he studied, Lord God. And I pray that you please also just be with us in the congregation, that you would please allow us, Lord God, to just leave here changed, Lord God, for receiving your word, Lord dear God, and hearing it, Lord dear God. And I pray that we would apply it to our lives, Lord dear God, that we might leave here changed, Lord God, this morning. I pray now these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Song number 197. Singing I Go, song number 197. There, your hymnals is our second song. We'll sing it on that first verse. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, for any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord. Has lifted my load. The passing days to me he cares. Fear not, I hear him say. And when my fears are turned to prayer, the burdens slip away. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, Jesus has lifted my load. He tells me of my Father's love for every suffering high. Everlasting King above will all my needs supply. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, my Lord. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, Jesus has lifted my heart.
right, great singing. Thank you for being here this morning. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 136. 136, Master of the Tempest is Raging. Song number 136, if you want to get that ready in your songbooks. If you do not have a bulletin, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of the ushers can get one for you. Our services are as follows. Sunday morning is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then we have our Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. Currently going through the book of 1 Samuel. Hope to see you there on Thursday at 7. And, of course, we are a family-integrated church, and what that means is that infants and children stay with their parents in the service. But for your convenience, we do have a mother-baby room located in the back of the building. Should your child need some diversion, there are screens and speakers there and changing tables available if you need that. Dads, if you take your children out, make sure you use the fellowship hall or the foyer here for that. And then you see the So Winning Times and Teams, the list of expecting mothers. Congratulations to Miss Kimberly and Brother Jacob. I heard they had their baby, right? Is this a true statement, a true witness? Okay. I don't know all of the stats for the baby, but congratulations to them. And then you see the important reminders there at the bottom and some of the upcoming church events. We have a ladies' prayer breakfast coming up on Saturday, August 27th. Please make sure you see Ms. Janelle Gonzalez for more details about that. She's the one who heads that up. September birthday breakfast in Judea Soul Winning is on Sunday, September 4th. And then we have a homeschool field trip to the Discovery Cube in Orange County on Wednesday, September 14th. You can see my wife, Sarah, for details about that. Of course, every activity at our church is free. And so if you homeschool your children, be a part of that. See my wife for details. And then the men's prayer night is coming up on Friday, September 30th. No food or drink allowed in the main auditorium except for water and coffee. Please make sure you're not loitering in the foyer or fellowship hall during the preaching service. Ladies, if you do take out your children, make sure you utilize the mother baby rooms. The foyer and fellowship are for the dads. And then quiet time, of course, is this afternoon from 3 p.m. to 4:15 throughout the whole building. The lights will be turned off. Please make sure you respect those rules. And then make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service, all right? And that is it. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, 136, Master of the Tempest is Raging, song number 136.
Amen. Song number 136, Master of the Tempest is Raging. Sing on that first verse.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, nor shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? The winds and the winds shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean. Depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. Dear Master, oh hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey. Ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Master the tempest.
blessed Redeemer, lead me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on that blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Haze me still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever, ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace be still. Amen. Wonderful singing at this time. Our ushers will be receiving the offering. And please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55.
Isaiah chapter number 55 this morning. Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible reads, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray, dear Lord God. Just thank you for this chapter out of your word. Just ask that you would be with Pastor Mejia now as he preaches it. Please just be with us also in the congregation and give us spirit-filled ears to hear it and help us to just grow in grace and in knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Isaiah chapter 55. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 10. It says here, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper," excuse me, "it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The title of my sermon this morning is "The Power of God's Word." The power of God's Word. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 55, we often get this misconception that this is essentially highlighting or God telling his people that, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, in the sense of, you know, when God does something, when he allows some sort of trial in our life, some sort of difficulty, and we can't seem to make sense out of it, we often say, well, God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we often use this as a verse of consolation. But the reality is this, is that this is God's call to bring God's people's minds back and ways to thinking the way he thinks. In other words, it's his way, or it's his command, to bring our way of thinking back into alignment with God's word. When he says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, he's saying that you guys are different than me, okay? You guys aren't thinking the way I think. You're not necessarily behaving the way I behave. And so we need to close that gap. You need to start thinking the way I think and obeying my ways, bringing your ways back into alignment with God's word. Look at verse number 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." By the way, this is a good verse here to let you know that, you know, if you're ever backslidden or you're away from God, don't ever think, well, you know, I'm going to come back to God in a couple weeks, or I'm going to come back to God in a month. Well, you know what? You might as well seek after God while he is near, because the implication there is that there's going to come a time when it's too late for you to get back to God. You know, something terrible can happen to you. Something, you know, death can come upon you at any moment. It's important that when we get the conviction to get right with God, we do it right away, because we need to do it while he is near. He says in verse number 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And of course, he goes into the fact that, you know, his word is going to go forth. It's going to accomplish that which he has called it to do. It's going to prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. And what he wants it to do is to bring God's people back, their minds back, into alignment with the word of God. Now, verse number 11, he says there, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void," he says. Now, what does that mean when he says it's not going to come back void? Well, that word void simply means empty. And what God is saying here is that when the word of God goes out, whether it be from a prophet, from a soul winner, from a pastor, from an evangelist, from a church member, it's never going to come back empty handed. It's always going to accomplish something when it goes out into the hearts of the lost, into the hearts of those who are saved but are not right with God. The Bible never comes back empty-handed. There's never going to be a time when we proclaim God's word and just nothing happens. And there's never going to come a time when you go out and preach the gospel and let's say you just get no one saved. Don't ever think, well, nothing took place, nothing happened. It's not the way it works. In fact, he tells us here that it's never going to come back void. It's always going to accomplish something. And in fact, on top of that, it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, the Bible says. It never comes back void. There's never going to come a point where nothing comes to fruition. And here's the thing is that, you know, the world and those who hate the Bible, because let me just remind you, there are people in this world who hate the Bible. They hate God's word. They hate the preaching of God's word. They despise it. We don't live in a world where everyone's just like, let's just sit in a circle and kumbaya and let's just include the Bible-believing Christians. Let's include the fundamental Baptists into this circle. No, there's a group of people out there who actually despise the Word of God. And because they hate God's Word, they want to stop people who are preaching it. They want to stop people who are publicizing it, who are propagating it. They want to deplatform those who are actually proclaiming God's Word, because they know that if the Word goes out, it doesn't come back void. They understand that when it goes out, it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. They understand, well, if we allow the Word of God to continue to be preached, it's going to accomplish something great, and we don't want that to happen because we hate the Bible. And so they try to deplatform people, try to censor people. But the reality is this, is that regardless if you try to deplatform individuals and censor them, you know, they try to silence God's man. Time and time again, we see that the Bible's still going to do its job. You can remove platforms. You can shut down social media outlets and try to stop people from preaching God's Word. It doesn't stop the Word of God from going forth and accomplishing that which he's called it to do. In other words, nothing, listen to this, nothing can stand in the way of God's Word. Nothing can stand in its way. The Bible is both an unstoppable force and an immovable object. Amen. Right? In other words, it doesn't matter where you place it, what country it's in, what state or city, it's always going to just keep going. It's just going to plow through. And, you know, sometimes I think about the meme, you know, because memes, they communicate great truth sometimes. You guys ever seen that meme where there's like a train and another train just plows right through it? So you think of that one train being like, hey, you can't preach God's Word. And then boom, the other train of God's Word, the King James Bible, just plows through it. Yeah. It's like that's a nice opinion that you had, but it's not going to do you any good. Okay, because God's Word is still going to accomplish something. It's an unstoppable object. It's an immovable force that will accomplish great things. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let me remind you that the Bible has power. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And let me say this, no other book in this world is capable of doing that. You know, you might be able to get some sort of novel, some sort of, you know, Harry Potter book, you know, some sort of fairy tale out there that'll move your emotions a little bit. It'll cause you to tear up a little bit, but nothing so much as powerful as God's Word, where it pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, right, where you recognize this is God speaking to me here. This is God's words here. This is what God says, and I'm convicted by it. It bothers me. It edifies me. There's nothing like the Word of God. And in fact, the Bible specifically says in verse 13 of Hebrews 4, you don't have to turn there, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You see, the Bible exposes everything. And it could come to a point where you don't know me and I don't know you, but if I preach God's word, you would almost think that I know you. You don't know me, I don't know you, but I can preach something, and not because I'm divine, but because I'm preaching from a divine book, it just exposes all your little secrets. And then you have a tendency to just nudge your spouse and say, did you talk to the pastor about this? Did you tell him of what we were talking about last night? No, it's called the little birdie of God's word. Right? And it just shows you how powerful the word of God really is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child, he's speaking to Timothy here, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? The Apostle Paul is basically saying that he has enough faith in God's word that if you're to give the Bible to a child and teach the word of God to an infant, teach the word of God to a toddler, teach the word of God to a teenager, you know what it's going to do? It's going to accomplish something in their life. It's going to make them wise unto salvation. And that's exactly what happened to Timothy. You know, his mom and his grandma, they both were Christians. They were people who were saved. And they gave him the word of God, and Timothy ended up being a great man of God. He was wise into salvation, but he also became a preacher of God's word because the word of God has power. Hey, never undermine the importance of teaching the Bible to your children. Amen. Never undermine the importance. You know, it's important for us to pray for our children, and prayer has power. But let me say this. I would say it's actually far more important that you teach the word of God to your children. Because the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the way is referring to the Bible. Amen. When you embed doctrine, you embed biblical principles, you embed the word of God into the heart of your children, it will prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. It will accomplish that which God has called it to do. When you plant those seeds of God's word in your child's heart, it will do something. Why? Because the Bible has power. Okay? The Bible has power. It goes on to say, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see here that the Bible is capable and powerful enough to profit us in doctrine, right? It can teach us what God's word wants us to learn, but also it has the power to reprove, to correct us. What does that mean? You know, if you're involved in sin, if you're involved in something that is contrary to God's word, when you read God's word, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, it has the power to reprove you and to correct you. And let me say this, all of us need to be corrected at one point or another. Because all of us are wrong at one point or another. And we need the word of God and the power of God's word to remind us of that, to take us off our high horse and recognize that our ways are not like his ways. Therefore, we need to correct our paths and align it to God's word. He says in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible has power to clean up your life. The Bible has power to correct your ways, to clean up your life, and to help you to be what God wants you to be. You know, in the day and age in which we live, the Bible has power to remove false ideologies from our mind. It has the ability to help us overcome bad habits. It has the ability to empower us to become bold in our witness and our testimony for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that it has the ability to turn us into another man. Okay? And what that's referring to is to turn us into the new man, the man that is bold, who loves the Lord, who can accomplish great things for him. And so the Bible has power. Don't ever undermine the power of God's word. You know, too many churches today undermine it. That's why they only read a couple verses in church. Because they think, well, you know, people are going to be bored with this, and so we don't want to bore people. We'll just read a couple verses. We'll preach for about 15, 20 minutes. We'll just give them a little motivational truth from Charles Spurgeon's little book here and the devotional book that I got here, because we don't want to bore people. Let's tell people what other men have said other than what God's word says. Because they undermine the power of the Bible. But folks, we want to be what? Bible-believing Christians who place our faith in the Bible. And recognize that the Bible has the power to fix your marriage. Yeah. It has the ability to get you out of sin. It has the ability to restore, you know, children who are wayward. It has the ability to make you a man. It has the ability to make you a godly woman. It has the ability to empower you to do that which God has called us to do. Right. You know, the Bible says that it has everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Don't ever undermine the Bible's capabilities in our personal lives and in the lives of others, our families, our children, our church. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, turn with me if you would to Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23. And of course, you know, I don't want to speak in generalities here. When I say the Bible, I'm referring to the Bible, which is the King James Bible. Amen. Okay, we're not talking about these modern perversions of the Bible. And yes, you heard right, the perversions of God's word. Right. Such as the NIV, the ESV, the HIV, the STD, the NLT. You say, why would you say such irreverent things towards those Bibles? Because they're not Bibles. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't consider something to be the word of God if it's removing from God's word. If you just have entire verses being removed, when it's questioning the deity of Jesus Christ, it's removing the blood of Jesus Christ, it's perverting salvation, it's screwing up all the major doctrines of the Bible. That's not God's word. That is a counterfeit of God's word. You know, the word of God in the English language is the King James Bible. It's withstood the test of time. It is the Bible for the English-speaking people. You say, well, I like to read the NIV because it's just an easier read or something like that, you know? But hold on a second. Is the Bible supposed to be easy to read, though? Salvation is supposed to be easy to understand. Amen. But you know what? The NIV doesn't make salvation easy to understand. Because there are portions of the NIV that say believe on Jesus Christ, which is true. But there are other portions of the NIV where it says that you have to, you know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow into salvation. What does that do? It confuses the reader and says, wait, it says believe here, but it also says that I have to grow into salvation. It makes salvation a process here, but then it says we have to trust in Jesus here. So what am I supposed to believe? The NIV is meant to deceive you, to confuse you, whereas the Bible, the King James Bible, makes it crystal clear. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, the Bible makes it very abundantly clear that all we have to do is place our faith in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yep. And here's the proof that these modern perversions of the Bible confuse people about salvation. You knock on the doors of people who use these modern versions, who go to these modern type churches, they can't give you a clear answer about salvation. Yeah. Are you 100% sure that if you die today, you're saved? I hope so. I believe so. What are you placing your faith in? Well, you know, I keep God's commandments. You got to walk with God. Got to have a relationship with Him. Got to love the Lord. All these obscure, ambiguous answers. Yeah. Whereas the Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. Someone asked me, are you 100% sure? I said yes. And if they asked why, I would say because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And I have salvation that cannot be lost because it's eternal. You can't get an answer like that reading from the NIV, you know, ESV or whatever. He said, well, you know, the King James, I like the King James, but I like a simplified version of the King James, so I go with the New King James. You know, because it takes away the these and the thous. But you know what? If you're to take a New King James and say, where was the thee and the thou in, you know, the King James where it's no longer in the New King James, they wouldn't be able to point it out. But you know what? The New King James also confuses the reader in regards to salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That is what the King James says, the New King James, but unto us which are being saved. Right. Well, hold on a second. Yeah. We're not being saved. We already got saved. Yeah. It's solidified. And so, you know, they want to pass on these modern versions and say it's just easier to read. It's just a lot more modern. You know, it's not archaic. But folks, you know, you can have candy if you want, but you can't have a good diet on candy, okay? And it's all fluff anyways. You know, the NIV and these modern versions of the Bible, they're essentially the cotton candy of the Bible. Because it's all fluff, no nutrition, and if you eat it long enough, you're going to die. And so that was a rabbit that I needed to chase, but it's important because when we talk about the Bible having power, we're referring to the King James Bible. And this, you know, people have attacked me recently just for standing on the King James Bible. And they'll say, shame on you for shaming these other Bibles. You know, these Bibles are great. And it's just like, how can you say they're great when they're literally removing verses where God intended it to be? Right. And it's not like they're being like, you know, trying to be secretive about it. You'll literally read Acts 8, 36, right? It's there. And then it says 37 with no verse and then go to 38. So they expect for the people that actually read the NIV to be stupid. Think about that. Think about the level of intelligence that they think you have if you read the NIV. They expect it to be dumb because when you read it, it's just like, oh, 37's not there. That's funny. Well, I'll just keep reading. I mean, it doesn't match the context. It sounds really dumb when you read it. It's just, they're telling you that something's missing because they put the number there of the verse that they took out. Think about that for a minute. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's the only Word of God. Look at Jeremiah 23. The power of God's Word is distinguished. Okay? Now, one of the reasons I'm preaching this, or should I say one of the main reasons that I'm preaching this, is because this last week, my YouTube channel that had 112,000 subscribers was deleted by YouTube. And they had given us a couple strikes in weeks past. And they basically said, if you get a third strike, you know, your channel's done, okay? And so they didn't give me a third strike. They just deleted my channel. Now, when we would get strikes, they would say, this is the reason you got a strike. It's because of this particular video. And they just labeled it as hate speech. Because anything that's in the Bible is just hate speech. Just let you know that. Okay? This is hate speech or whatever. And they didn't give me a third strike. They just deleted it. And they didn't even give me a reason why. They didn't say, this is the sermon. This is the clip. Now, mind you, you know, I've said some pretty crazy stuff. So the channel had like 2,000 videos. And the law of numbers says that within those 2,000 videos, I said some pretty crazy stuff on there. I take nothing back, though. And so, you know, it's just like, at least give me one of the videos. What did I say? You know what I mean? What's the straw that broke the camel's back? But they deleted it, and they sent me an email telling me that I'm permanently banned from YouTube, that I can no longer have a YouTube channel. So you can't have one. You're no longer allowed to have an account with YouTube. And then, you know, me, I'm just like, well, we'll see about that. So the next day, I opened a brand new account. I got a brand new phone because I thought to myself, well, you know, what if I change my name, you know? Change my phone number, change the number, the phone number, the email. Just put a completely different name on there. And, it was a channel called My Father's Business. Had nothing, you know, my name was not on there. My face was. And in less than 24 hours, they took it down. In less than 24 hours. And, you know, it was just me like, interesting. That's okay. I see how you're playing this. But, you know, just my face being on YouTube, I'm not allowed to even show my face on YouTube anymore. You say, why? Because the Bible's too powerful. Okay? And it's not like, oh, that was just a little channel. Wasn't really reaching anybody. We just don't want hate speech. No, the channel was reaching a lot of people. Okay, it was reaching millions of people. We had at least 5 videos that had gone over 1 million views. Okay, and each other video went over at least 100,000 views. And it's not like it was just clickbait, because when you look at the likes were in the tens of thousands of likes. And even the people who were responsible for taking down my channel, by the way, is those beloved Jews. Yep. It lets you know that. Okay, which, by the way, I'm preaching on them tonight. Amen. They just deserve their own little sermon tonight. And so, you know, the ADL is the one who reported my channel and got it taken down. But even the ADL recognized, man, this channel's growing, and he's reached so many people, and he's also has so many likes. Well, then why did you take it down then? If so many people like it, and the vast majority of them don't think it's hate speech, why would you take it down? I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God has power. And they understood we can't allow this. Don't you see how the world has gone after him? Yeah. And so they want to just delete it, get it out of the way. You know. But here's the thing, folks. It's too late. You waited too long. You know, it would have done you better to delete me at 10,000. It would have done you better to delete me at 7,000. But you let it get to 112,000 with millions of views, millions of people reached. It's too late. You say, well, yeah, but from here on out, you can't preach on YouTube. It doesn't matter, because the Word of God has already gone forth. Amen. It's already gone forth. People have heard it already. At least 3 million Muslims have heard it. Because the biggest video on there was my video calling out Zakir. And even though, let's say those 3 million aren't all Muslims, okay, let's just say 1 million of them were Muslims. It accomplished that which what he's called it to do. It's already gone forth. It's already embedded in the hearts of people. It's too late. You see, we don't consider it a loss. Obviously, the channel was deleted, but we don't consider it a loss because it went out millions of times already. And here's the reason why they were able to find it. Okay, I preached at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And look, let me just be honest with you. I was surprised that the channel got as far as it did. It just kept climbing and climbing and climbing, and I'm just like, I'm going to ride this wave as long as I possibly can. And I was just putting content out there. You can ask Ulysses. I mean, we're here week in, week out, just putting content, because I knew I had but a short time. You know, the night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh when YouTube would delete the channel. And so, you know, we're just putting it out there, trying to reach a lot of people, and... You know, so at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, I just talked about how I had infiltrated YouTube. And notice I said YouTube, not because I'm Hispanic. My mom calls YouTube YouTube, but it's not because she's you know, saying YouTube. You know what I mean? Hispanics might say YouTube, but I'm referring to literally YouTube, as in the Jews, okay? And I said, I infiltrated YouTube. And they haven't found me. And you say, well, how do you know that that was it? Because that's the literal quote that they had in the article. Because the Jews lie in wait. You know, they want to catch something out of your mouth. And here's the funny thing about that, okay? Just think about this. I'm going to blow your minds right now. I said that one statement, and they quoted that one statement. Pastor Shelley preached an entire sermon on the Jews that night. He preached an entire sermon on the Jews. His sermon was purely on the Jews. My sermon wasn't on the Jews. My sermon was about something completely different, and then I just so happened to say I infiltrated YouTube. And they're just like, wait, what? Hold on a second. They're all... They see all the views and all the videos, and they're like, oh, we got... Dang it! You know, he did infiltrate us. Give him a strike and delete his channel. But it's too late. It's just too late. Now, obviously, YouTube is super wicked. I'm talking about the platform in and of itself is extremely wicked. There's so much crap out there. There's so much nonsense. There's so much filth and perversion. I mean, you have sodomites on there. You have liberals on there. You have the most despicable behavior on YouTube, but yet I'm the one who's taken down. Right? It's obviously filthy. It's perverse. It's disgusting. But here's the thing. The reason we wanted to be on there is because that's where people are. And you know what? That's why people were subscribed. That's where people were listening. That's where people were watching. Because even the so-called Christians and pastors on YouTube sucked. I went through some of those videos of some of these Christians on there. I'm like, what's the point of you even being on here? Let me just remind you that God loves you. Everyone knows that already, dude. Dude, everyone knows that already. Let me just remind you that God loves you. Bro, the unsaved people know that already. Can you? There's 66 books in here. There's so much more in the Bible that we can be teaching. Why don't you put that forth? And, you know, they never want to take a stand. They always teach lame stuff. And, you know, it's just like, oh, this is ripe for the picking. I'll come and I'll teach the Bible. And you know what? People were flocking to the channel. They were flocking to the truth because they wanted the truth. And they got it. And here's the thing is that, you know, I picture it like Elijah. Because Elijah just kind of came out of nowhere, and then he just left out of nowhere too. Right? He came, and then he just preached God's word, and then he was just like popular for a time, and then boom, he's just gone. Like, where'd he go? Well, that's kind of how I picture the channel. It was there for 5 years, preaching God's word, and all of a sudden it's just gone. And then I'm sure people on YouTube right now is like, where'd that guy go? And I never said my name on those shorts either. I was never like, this is Pastor Bruce Mejia. I just had 60 seconds, and I was like, parata, 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 parata. I was shooting doctrine out of my mouth like there's no tomorrow. Like there's only 60 seconds to say it. Because there was only 60 seconds to say that doctrine. So I had no time to promote me or art. I didn't even say First Church Baptist Church. And I'm sure people are like, why didn't he say where he's from? Because you know what? That's not important. What's important is to get the word of God out there. And the reality is this, if people are looking for the truth, they'll find the truth. People are looking for the truth, they're going to find the truth. And you know what? It's a good thing that the channel got deleted because now people are like, oh man, now I got to go to that church. Now I really got to go. Man! Because it's very convenient to have it on YouTube, right? It's just like, I'll just stay home, watch the live stream. You know what I mean? You can still stay in your pajamas and... No one's going to watch you. That's all good. But now that the channel's gone, it's like, oh, now I got to, like, get dressed. Now I got to, like, brush my teeth. And now I got to go. That, like, there's people there. Now I got to go, like, talk to people. Right. Yeah. That's originally what God intended for it to do, you know? And, you know, people are like, yeah, we got his channel shut down. It's just like, I have a real church, though. Like, the YouTube was like a side hustle. That was a side hustle. You said, are you making money off of YouTube? No, it wasn't monetized. I was making all kinds of rewards in heaven, though. Yeah. That was my side hustle for, like, the rewards in heaven, amen? Right. I was slaying the word of God, you know what I mean? In order to get rewards in heaven. Okay? And just you say, well, what do you mean like you're slaying God's word? Because I'm paying the price to get the God's word out there with the potential price of getting deleted, of getting persecuted, which is exactly what happened. And let me just show you how powerful God's word is. We've been preaching God's word here. Our church is only 5 years old. And in 5 years, they've blown up our church, literally, and nuked our channel. In less than 5 years, just from preaching God's word, it has accomplished so much. But the power of God's word is distinguished. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Amen. You know, that's a good verse for all these Pentecostal charismatic pastors out there who want to talk about what they dreamt about and how that's from God. You know what God says? Let him tell a stupid little dream. Yeah. But let the prophets of God speak my word faithfully. Amen. I don't care what you dreamed about. I don't care what you napped about. I don't care what kind of visions you had. Tell me what God's word says. He says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? What is he saying? He's like, my word is like fire and it's like a hammer. What does that mean? It means it's distinguished from the dream. It's distinguished from everything else. You see, there's a lot of Muslims on YouTube. Their channels don't get deleted. And they believe some crazy stuff. I mean, they're on there teaching it's okay to, you know, commit pedophilia. It's okay to, you know, they talk about Sharia law on there. They talk about Muhammad, who's a pedophile. But, you know, it's interesting. They never get deleted for that. And in fact, it's a religion that if they had it their way, everyone else's head would get chopped off. It's an actual violent religion. Yet, you know, they're still on there. Zakir's still on there teaching about pedophilia. Millions of views, millions of subscribers. YouTube has no quarrel with them. Do you know why? Because the Quran has no power. Right. It's powerless. You know why? Because YouTube is not threatened by the Quran. Right. YouTube is not threatened by Islam. You know who threatens YouTube? Biblical Christianity. Right. You know who threatens YouTube? The Bible. You know, and by the way, they try to minimize us and say, oh, it's just these little churches. But shut down those little churches, though. Oh, it's just like a church. There's only like 30 churches out there that teach this, but we got to shut them all down, though. For real, though, we got to shut them all down. So they try to mitigate us and try to belittle us and say, oh, these little churches, and these guys are so crazy. Well, you know, if we're so little, if we're so insignificant, then just leave us alone. Because what are we going to do then? But you know what? That's just code for shut them down because they are going to do something big. That's the proof. There's so many. I mean, Robert Breaker, for example, has, I don't know, a million some subscribers or something, millions of views. And you know what? YouTube doesn't see him as a threat because he's not a threat. He's some dude in his living room with a washboard. Just drawing on their charts and stuff like that, they just see him as some little kid just doodling on the wall. That's all they see him as. And let me say this. If Robert Breaker's channel got shut down, that would be the end of his life. Because he has no church. You think people are actually going to show up and watch him doodle on a board? If they were to shut down his church, that's all he would have. His life would be over. But the word of God is like fire. Why? Because it purifies. The word of God is like a hammer. Why? Because it breaks down. It destroys. It brings down. When the hammer comes down, it destroys false doctrines. It destroys false ideologies. It breaks the hardened heart towards God. It breaks down all the doubts, all the disillusions out there. It actually cuts through and gets the job done. So you know what God says, let the Muslim preach his whatever. Let the Mormon do it. Let the person prophesy and dream a dream. But let my man preach the word faithfully because the word of God has actual power. It's not like these fake substitutes out there that get nothing done. He said, well, why is Islam the fastest growing religion? Because of the fact that if you don't convert, they'll kill you. That's why. Whereas Christianity, we don't force our beliefs on anybody, contrary to what they tell you. They just want to force their religion down our throat. I don't want to talk to someone who doesn't want to talk to me or is not willing to listen about the Bible. The Bible actually teaches the exact opposite, to wipe off the dust of our feet, to move on to another city, to go on to the next door if someone doesn't want to hear it. The Word of God is distinguished, my friends. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let me read you this verse. It says, so there was a division among the people because of him. You're going to Matthew 13. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So during Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees would send officers to go arrest Jesus Christ. Like, this is the guy, go arrest him. You know, he's preaching heresy. He's saying all these damnable things. Go arrest him. So they would come, and he's like preaching God's word. He is the word, but he's preaching God's word. And the officers would come to try to arrest him, but then they wouldn't. And then verse 45 says, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? So they come back empty-handed, and they're just like, why didn't you arrest him like we told you to? The officers answered, never man spake like this, man. Obviously, that's not a good reason for them. It's like, okay. They're just kind of like, but they're just like, I've never heard anybody preach like that before. You know why? Because the Word of God has power. Yeah. The Word of the Pharisees, zero power. Yeah. Okay. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? No, because you guys are damnable heretics. That's why. Matthew 7:29, you're in 13, says, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Luke 24, verse 32 says, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? There's not a book in this world that'll make your heart burn within you. And we're not talking about like literal burning, heartburn. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Christian heartburn, where it makes you zealous for God's word. Where if you were a little lukewarm in your Christian life, you hear preaching like this, you hear about the power of God's word, and it just revitalizes you once again to serve God once again, to read the word of God once again. It reminds you of our purpose on this world. It reminds you that God's word is powerful and that we can wield it to accomplish that which God has called us to do. Look at Matthew 13. Let me say this, is that the word of God can be set forth to harden the hearts of the wicked. You see, sometimes we think, well, we got to preach God's word because we want to get people saved. Amen. We want to preach God's word because we want to turn people to righteousness. Amen. We want to preach God's word to fix people's lives. Amen. But you know, also there's another purpose to God's word, and that is to harden the hearts of the wicked individuals of this world. You say, wait, what? That sounds kind of negative. Yeah, it is. It's very negative. But God's purpose for the Word of God, aside from those other things, is to harden the hearts of those who hate God. That's what he wants it to do. Right, yeah. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. What does that mean? He's referring to the Jews. And he's saying that their heart has grown gross. In other words, it's just so filled with God's word. They've just been getting God's word for generations on end. It says here, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now let's understand what this means. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Of course, Isaiah seen a vision of the temple of God in heaven. He's seen all these seraphims, and they're crying one to another, holy, holy, holy. And he's just seen this great vision here of the Lord. And he says in verse number 5, then said I, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now, if you've been to Independent Fundamental Baptist churches, old IFB churches, they missionaries will use this verse all the time. Because it sounds very noble, right? It's like, who's going to go to the lost? Who's going to preach the gospel to the heathen? Who's going to go to, you know, whatever country to reach these people? And then the missionary is like Isaiah, and they're like, Here am I, send me. Like, no one's willing to go, Here am I. They even have a song for it. It's a very touching song. It's like, Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. And you're just like, man, I want to be a missionary too. It's like, this missionary is so noble. He's willing to just give up everything to go preach the word of God to get these people saved. And they use this verse. Because it's like the Lord is like telling them, like, who shall go? Who shall go? And the missionary is like, I'll go to Southeast Asia. I'll go to these Muslim countries. I'll go to the little Mexicans and, you know, whatever. I'll go to the Brazilians and, you know, I'll go to Colombia. I'll go here. I'll go reach them. And it's just, you know, they play the little video and they show the faces of people they've never seen before. It's just like, it's stock footage. Just let you know that. It's all stock footage. You say, how do you know? Because I do video stuff, so I know. I'm like, I've seen his face before. He's like a missionary, you know. And they do that, and they say, you know, here am I, send me. But here's the thing, though. Yeah, this isn't what it's really actually talking about. When God says, whom shall go for us? And when Jeremiah says, here am I, send me. Let's see what he's volunteering for. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make their heart, the heart of this people, fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. What is he saying? You're volunteering to go harden the hearts of these wicked people. You say, whoa, wait, what? I thought we were supposed to go to, like, you know, win them to, no. Go harden their hearts. Go make these people reprobate, because they hate the word of God. They hate the Lord. They hate the Bible. They love their idols. They love their covetousness. They love their idolatry. They love their adultery. They love their filth and perversion. Then go preach the word of God and go harden their hearts even more. Yeah, right. Whom shall I send? And Jeremiah's like, I'll do it. I'll preach the word of God. Now, here's the thing is that obviously this is a unique call. None of us are going to get a call from heaven to say, hey, go harden the hearts of these people on this street. I'll send you a map right here. You make a right here, and this side of the street, all wicked, just go harden their hearts. But what we do have is the command to just preach the word of God to just everyone. Right? And when we preach the word of God to everyone, there's going to be individuals who receive the word of God with gladness, and there's going to be others who are just going to be offended by it. They're going to hate it. But it doesn't matter. We're going to preach the word of God everywhere. And if someone becomes hardened because of God's word, that's not my fault. This is what God's called me to do. The word of God has power to save the lost, but it also has power to harden the hearts of wicked people. And you know what? I guarantee you there's somewhere within that 3 million people that heard me, that know about me, that, yeah, we're blessed by the teaching of God's word, but I guarantee you there's a far greater group within that 3 million who were hardened because of what I was saying, who were angry at what I was saying. I mean, if you don't believe me, you should have just gone to the comment section. Yeah. It's just a list of people who are just hardened to the word of God. You're a heretic. You're a false prophet. You're not teaching God's word. You need to read the book of Enoch. The earth is flat. All this nonsense out there. What about Nephilims? You don't believe in Nephilims. Aliens are real. You're wicked. You got to repent of your sins. Repent before it's too late. Just people who are hardened to God's word. You say, man, didn't that like disturb you a little bit? Doesn't that bother you? Nope. You say, why? Because here am I, send me. This is my job. I go out there, preach the word of God, and if it hardens someone's heart, then so be it. We have this perception as Christians sometimes that the Bible is sent forth only for a positive reason. Folks, let me just give you a rude awakening. Sometimes it's meant to harden the hearts of wicked individuals. Sometimes it's meant to harden the hearts of the individuals who hate the Lord. They hate the word of God. And God says, okay, let me just harden your heart just a little more then. Let me just tick you off just a little more. Let me just help you. Let me just assist you in hating me that much the more. And you know what? That's a God that you may not be familiar with, but that's the God of the Bible. That's the God of this book right here. And you know what? The reason why you may not know that is because you probably listen to some preachers who only tell you the positive effects of the Bible, and they don't tell you about the negative effects of the Bible. But you know what? Both negative and positive are still righteous in the eyes of the Lord. We should never be ashamed of the negative effects on the Word of God. Go to Acts chapter 5. He said, make the heart of this people fat. Make it fat. That means they already had God's word. They had already eaten the word of God. Isaiah was sent to go make it fatter. He said, go feed them some more. Go give them more till it's coming out of their nostrils, till it's coming out of their ears. And then it's going to cause them to hate me that much the more. You see, folks, you got to understand something. God's not in heaven just begging people to believe him. He's already done everything he could to do that. You say, what do you mean? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah. The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commend means he elevated his love. He already showed you the express image of his love through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. So if you're not willing to believe that, he's like, okay, become hardened then. Yeah. Let me tell you another way. All right, go to hell then. Yeah. That's basically what he's saying. If you don't want my son, well, I want you, God. I just don't want your son. You can't have God without the son. Right. Jews. Yeah. I gotta like chill out because I really want to save all that for tonight. Okay. And I won't be deplatformed for saying it either. Because it's on this really cool website called fwbcla.org, which is our website. And I can do everything on there but cuss, okay? So just let you know. I wouldn't cuss, I'm just saying. Shout out to Pastor Shelley. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 28. It says, saying, did not we straightly command you? Didn't we straightly command you that you can't put videos like this on YouTube? Didn't we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, what a horrible thing. Oh, how terrible are these disciples that they want to go out and just get a bunch of people saved. By the way, these are the Jews speaking here. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. What is he saying? He's like, we're not going to listen to you. Yeah. Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, by the way. Yeah. Well, by the way, when you read the book of Acts, it's so funny when you hear the apostle Peter preach. Because he's like preaching, and it just reminds him, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, the one that you killed, by the way, the one that you crucified, the one your fathers. He's just constantly like telling them, like, you guys are the ones who killed him, by the way, just in case you forgot. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, listen to this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So it's not like they heard it and were like, oh man, maybe we should change. Maybe we should change what we believe. They were cut to the heart and they're like, oh, I know the answer. Let's kill them. Because if you kill them, then you can just get rid of the message. But here's the thing. They killed Stephen and the message still went forth. You see, killing a prophet does nothing. And in fact, it actually accelerates the message to get out there that much the more. The blood of the prophets causes the word of God to accelerate and go out even more. Anytime persecution comes to a church, to a man of God, to a Christian, it only accelerates the message that much the more. It goes from 40 miles per hour to 80 miles an hour. Blew up our church physically. It didn't harm us at all. They didn't damage it. Damaged the building, but that building sucked anyways. Yeah. They didn't even have to put a bomb in that building. It probably would have fell over because the building was so bad. You guys remember, those of you who are in that building, it just wasn't a strong building at all. Okay. But you know, they blew it up and it didn't do anything to us. You know what it did? It caused the word of God to ring forth that much the more. Yeah. And then the Sodomites realized, oh man, we screwed up. Because when you persecute God's people, they just grow stronger. Yep. The message gets out there. People watch it on the news and like, they blew up this person's church? What in the world? Let me look him up. Yep. Oh, look at all this content. Oh, he's answering all these questions that no other pastor can answer. Yep. It's not because he's special, but just because he's just preaching God's word. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, you know what? We're going to keep preaching, but the Pharisees are like, let's just kill them. Well, yeah, but if you kill the disciples, someone else is going to take that person's place, and the word of God is still going to go forth because you can't kill God's word. Yep. We're conduits of God's word. God's preaching through us by us preaching the word of God. But if you take the conduit out of place, there's another conduit coming. The death of that prophet is going to inspire another prophet to preach God's word. Look at Matthew 21, Romans 9, actually. Go to Romans chapter 9. Let me give you some more proof of this. Because the point that I'm trying to make here is the fact that our job is just to preach God's word. We've heard Pastor Anderson say, let the chips fall where they may, right? Well, you know what? What that means is if it causes some to believe, so be it. If it causes some to hate the Lord, so be it. Because, you know, you have these lame, watered-down, lukewarm, limp-wristed Christians out there who get mad at people like us. You're like, you're making Jesus Christ look bad. You're making him look bad. Yeah. Yeah. By not soul winning, by not standing in God's, by being ashamed of God's word, you're making him look bad. Right. Yeah. We don't make him look bad. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ. And here's the thing is that based upon whose standard? What are you talking about? Based upon your standard? Because according to God's standard, this is exactly what we're supposed to do. So how am I making God look bad when I'm doing what he told me to do? When I'm preaching when he tells me to preach? You look bad because you're not a legitimate Christian. You're not actually doing what God tells you to do. Look at Romans 9. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about this person. Okay. Look at Romans 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Now, who is the stumbling stone? It's Jesus, right? Essentially saying that it's picturing Jesus Christ as a rock that's in a place where a person comes to and can fall over it, right? It stumbles over it. Now, I want you to pay attention, close attention to verse number 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. So think about that. What does that mean? God's like, he places a stumbling stone in the path of Israel so that either you can believe on him or it could cause you to fall. Yep. You're being a stumbling block. Yeah. Amen. I am. Because I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. He puts a stumbling... God says, I'm going to put in Zion a stumbling stone so that people can fall over it. Yep. Well, that's not right. It is right. Yep. Because he doesn't owe this world an apology, my friends. Amen. He doesn't owe this world anything. Right. If you don't agree with him, then take a hike. Amen. In God's eyes. Yep. If you don't agree with him, then you can stumble over the stumbling stone. Or, guess what? It can grind you to powder. Amen. That's what it says. He says, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, us who are believers in Christ, we've come to the stumbling stone and we believed on him. The path of truth led us to that stumbling stone. Whereas others, when that path of truth led them to the stumbling stone, they said, this can't be it. And they either stumbled over it and were offended by the message of God's word, or they became adversarial towards God, and the stumbling stone grinded them to powder. That's how it works. There is no alternative. It's like, well, I can just like walk over it real quick. Doesn't work that way. The stone is too big for you to step over. You have one of two choices. You could either stumble at it, or you have three choices. You can stumble at it. You can allow it to fall on you and just destroy you. That's the one for the reprobates. Or you can come to it and say, this is the rock of my salvation. Right? And let me say this. If there's someone in here who has, you know, you're on this path, and the fact that you're here means you, this path has led you to the stumbling stone. Your search for truth has finally ended right here. To the stumbling stone. You say, this church? No, someone in this church who's going to give you the word of God to get saved. And you have one of three choices. You can either look at the stone and say, nah, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to another gospel truth. Well, there is no other gospel truth. But though we or another from door an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. There's only one gospel. So you can either come to this stumbling stone and say, this is the rock of my salvation. I want to believe on him. Or you can, it can cause you to stumble. Or you could just hate God if you want. I don't recommend it. And it can just grind you to powder. Those are the only options. Well, I'm going to go check out what Islam is all about, you know. Okay, if you want to wear a funny dress, grow a funny looking beard, and promote pedophilia, which is exactly what they do, and only view Jesus Christ as a prophet and not as the Son of God, which is exactly what he is, and want to promote a book written by a guy who's illiterate and a pedophile, and so be it. What that means is that you're stumbling at the stumbling stone. The Bible has power, my friends. And it's our job to propagate the word of God. And look, our desire, obviously, is that when people come to the stone, they believe on the stone. They believe on the rock. We plead for people to believe on the rock. Not Dwayne Johnson, okay? We're talking about the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Dwayne Johnson has stumbled at the stumbling stone, okay? Go to Acts chapter 4. The word of God has power, my friends. And you know what? They can delete the channel. I don't care. Why? Because of the fact that people are still going to be reached no matter what. And in fact, I guarantee you that people are still going to come to our church based upon the channel, even though it doesn't exist anymore. Because the word of God has gone forth. You know, God could have easily just blinded the minds of whatever YouTube idiot was out there who pressed the button for delete if he wanted to. But you know what? Sometimes he takes people out of the picture because the people aren't worthy of it. The platform's not worthy of it. You see, we think, oh man, if we would have just stayed a little longer, if we would have just done this. You got to understand something is that God values his word, and we should too. And so he's like, well, I'm not going to leave this pearl here. People hate this pearl. People hate this rock here. People hate the rock of their salvation on this platform. They don't deserve it. So he just removes it. That's why, by the way, that's why all my pastor friends have been deleted. The day that I got deleted, let me just tell you. My main channel was deleted. My Spanish channel was deleted. Biblia en Español. I was preaching. I was like, you know, I'm going to start a Spanish channel, teach the Bible in Spanish. And I was working hard at it. I'm like, you know, going through thesauruses and dictionaries, trying to look up words, trying to sound more articulate when I would preach the Bible in Spanish. I'm like, we could reach a Spanish group and all these things. And I was just preaching God's word. And then we had a secondary channel. Then I had like 5-6 other channels that had no content whatsoever. They're just like emails that I started, and I started a YouTube channel. I'm like, I'm not going to put anything on. And I put it, all of them deleted. All of them just got deleted. Even the Spanish one, they had no controversial thing on there whatsoever. Got deleted. And then my friend, Pastor Roger Jimenez from Sacramento, California, Verity Baptist Church, his channel got deleted the same day. He had a backup channel. That one got deleted. He also had a channel called Help for the Home. It's literally like about the family. You know, how to cut hair and, you know, I don't know, just family stuff. What to name our dog, you know, videos like that. Like nothing controversial whatsoever, deleted. Gone. And of course, Pastor Anderson, he's been down this road already. He gets deleted multiple times. But now, like, we're all officially just banned from YouTube. Is it any coincidence that they're deleting the new IFB? Come on, folks. Think about that for a minute. Is it any coincidence that we all got deleted on the same day? Think about that for a minute. What does that tell you? It tells you that they hate God's word, and this God's word's being put forth from these churches. So we got to stop it. Now, are there other platforms that we can go to? Of course, there's, you know, Rumble or whatever, and I don't know, BitChute and all these other platforms. And you know, people will tell me, like, go on this platform because you won't be censored. You can say whatever you want. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I always say whatever I want. That's why I'm not on YouTube anymore. It's like I'm looking for a place not to say wherever I want. I'm looking for a place where there's people because I always want to go where people are at. That's why our churches love going to South Central, love going to the ghettoest places in America. Why? Because that's where people are. We want to get those people saved. We want to go to Compton. We want to go to Inglewood. We want to go to South Central. We want to go to places where other independent fundamental Baptists don't want to go to. Because they're just so, oh, man, they're just, we can't just go to these lower class places. We'll go there. Why not? There's people there. We want to go where the people are. Yeah, but amongst those people, aren't there wicked people? Of course. Who cares, though? Why are you scared? Don't be scared. The Bible has power to win the lost as well. Look at, you're in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 2. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified. There he goes again. Both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So don't think that everyone is just meant to be hardened. Because then there was people like this who heard it. They were pricked in their hearts and they said, so what should we do? And this is where he tells them, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's going to be people out there who are very receptive towards the truth when they hear it. Okay? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We never want to have this doom and gloom attitude that no one's going to get saved, no one's going to listen to the message. There's plenty of people. I mean, there's people in here who want to hear the message, obviously. There's people out there who want to listen to it as well. Look at Acts 4, verse 1. It says, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. Oh, man, so bad. You're teaching about Jesus and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Such a controversial subject. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. You know, they had their little YouTube going on back then, too. They got 5,000 views on that video. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So what do we see here? We see that any time the apostles were preaching God's word, they were always met by opposition of the Jews, who wanted to just stop them from preaching. They just couldn't take it. Why? Because they were filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. And because the Sadducees and Pharisees sucked at preaching, and all they can do is exercise their authority and say, do this because we said so. And these guys who were supposed unlearned fishermen were coming and making a big impact. They're like, I got the answer. Let's just shut them down. But a bunch of people were still reached. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. It's always funny when people do things like this, delete channels and evict people out of their buildings and blow up buildings. They always think like, this will stop them. This will stop them from preaching. And it's just like, we go from here to like preaching here. It's like, that was a dumb move. Doesn't do anything. We just keep preaching God's word. And here's the thing. Let me just say something else, okay? Because in my opinion, I'm not just saying this because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. In my opinion, the truth rings forth in our generation sometimes the strongest through the independent fundamental Baptist movement, and more specifically through the new independent fundamental Baptist movement, okay? And, you know, we're kind of spearheading this movement of getting the truth out there as much as we possibly can. And, you know, the reason we call ourselves New IFB is because We are the revised of the old IFB. We've learned all these things from the old IFB, but we've kind of perfected a lot of the things that they were lacking in, okay? But let me just say this, is that we are also inspiring them to get right, to get fired up about the things of God, to start taking the Bible seriously too. And you know what? You're not going to get a phone call from some Baptist pastor out there to tell you that, but it's fact. And in fact, one of my friends told me, he's like, the new IFB is super popular amongst the old IFB right now. Very popular. They're constantly listening. They're and I was just like, really? And he's like, oh yeah. But then this week, I saw an old IFB person, and they didn't say hi. They didn't say what's going on. They didn't say how's your week. They said, your channel got deleted. And I was just like, how'd you know that, you know? I didn't want to tell him, you know, like, oh, you're watching, huh? But it's just like, yeah, I got deleted. He's like, what are you going to do now? You know, and code word for where can I watch the sermons? Very much popular in the old IFB. It's a thing in the old IFB right now. You say, why? Well, because of the fact that the Word of God has power. And we're trying to bring the old IFB back to what they were originally. You understand? Because it has power. What's the message today? The message is simply this. God's word is powerful. And you know what? If I had 10 people, if I preached the gospel, preached the word of God to 10 people, and all of them rejected it and all of them hated it, I'd still walk away and say, see, God's word is powerful. So wouldn't you walk away like that if they got saved? Nope. I'd walk away with it no matter what, thinking the Bible's powerful. So what's the proof? Because all 10 of these people hate it. All 10 of them just despise it. How is that proof? Because that's what the Bible does. It causes people to make a decision. Now, obviously, there's people who just become indifferent towards God's word, and they're just like, whatever about it. But even then, it's going to accomplish in that person's heart what God has called it to do, no matter what. Even if a person is indifferent towards it, that seed is sown. That seed is in that person's heart, and they will come back into remembrance in their mind one day when they need it, when they want salvation, when they want to start hating God. Because when they want to start hating God, they're going to be like, yeah, I remember this one pastor, he came up to me, said I was going to go to hell, and said I had to believe on Jesus Christ and stuff like that. You know, hey, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished, my friends. And so, you know, the word of God is going to continue to ring forth from this church. Not just from my mouth, but even from the mouths of the people here. We're still going to reach a ton of people. We're still going to get the word of God out there as much as possible, no matter what. Because here's the thing, is that YouTube is not an institution set up by God. We use that platform. They didn't use us. We use them. You know, in our minds, it's like, we no longer need you anymore. You're useless. We just discarded YouTube like the Babylonian whore in Revelation 18 is just discarded. You fulfilled your purpose. We don't need you anymore. You didn't delete us. We deleted you. And in fact, one day they're just going to be permanently deleted too. Yeah. One day YouTube and everyone on YouTube who hates God, they're going to be permanently deleted. Amen. And I want to be there when God presses that button like, deleted. You can't go into heaven. Deleted. You can't have eternal life. And look, I'm not saying everyone on YouTube is like that, but I guarantee you the vast majority of them are. Okay. And so the message of today is about the Jews. But the message of now, this morning, is the power of God's word and never undermine its capabilities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the power thereof. It's changed my life. Changed my life when I first got saved. It continues to change my life throughout the years. When I hear the unsearchable riches of Christ being preached from the pulpit by other pastors, it moves my heart. It creates a fire within me. It reminds me of the eternal. It helps me to realize that there's an unseen world out there, a spiritual world that we cannot see, where a difference is being made, impact is being made. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to place our faith in that and walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to believe the Bible when we have doubts. Sometimes we doubt, am I even making a difference in my family? Am I making a difference in my marriage? Am I making a difference with my children? Am I making a difference with wayward children? But we need to place our faith in the Bible. If the Bible's gone forth, if it's in their hearts, it's going to accomplish that which you've called it to do. And Lord, help us to faithfully preach it, faithfully go out there and give the gospel to the lost. And may you be honored and glorified through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Song number 112, Be Still My Soul, is our last song. Song number 112. Song number 112, seen on that first verse.
Be still my soul.
Dismissed.